You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You made it. It's Friday. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George. Congratulations on making it through another long week of the offseason. We got many more to go, but I can promise you one thing. If you're looking for a place to go every single day for Sacramento Kings content all offseason long, you are in the right place. Draft lottery previews, NBA draft previews, breakdowns of both, summer league games, everything you could possibly want going into training camp and into next season. We have it all right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast all summer long. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHDK. I'm an on-air host, producer, and multimedia journalist for the station's website. That station is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. Therefore, we are deeply ingrained into what is going on in the Sacramento Kings community, what is going on with the team itself. We get inside information. It's always great to be a part of this great city and around this great organization. And I've had the honor and the privilege this week of being able to host the Grant Napier Show on KHDK from 3 to 7 o'clock. Grant Napier, the TV play-by-play voice of the Sacramento Kings. His co-host, Doug Christie, was in town while Grant was on vacation, so I got to work with Doug Christie. Of course, Doug, a former Sacramento King. He and I had a lot of good conversations about the NBA playoffs going on right now, about the Kings specifically, about the NFL, MLB. We hit on all of it over this week, and you can go back and listen to that anytime you want on KHDK.com. or on the Sports 1140 KHDK app. I encourage you, whether you're in the Sacramento community or not, if you're looking for a good radio station that talks Kings and talks sports in general, Sports 1140 KHDK is the absolute right place to go. It's a great hub for the Sacramento Kings offseason as well. Almost as good as we have it here, right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. But yes, I've gotten to spend a lot of time with Doug Christie talking about a lot of good stuff, and we had a great conversation today. We decided we were going to redraft the 2017 NBA draft knowing what we know now. And what we did was we had the Kings obviously picking 5th and picking 10th. We decided they would not trade that 10th overall pick, and they would draft a player available at that 10 spot. So I'm going to play that for you. And then after we broke down the draft, we talked a lot about De'Aaron Fox's development and what we want to see the Kings working on and how we want to see them continue to develop throughout this offseason. I'm going to play that whole conversation for you. It was a great conversation with Doug Christie, and we'll come back on the other side. I have a request, a favor to ask of you as we wrap up this week on the Locked On Kings podcast. But here is my conversation on Sports 1140 KHDK, filling in on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Jump in and get involved in this next topic because we
let's draft.
Yeah, we put it out there. We're talking about the top 10 teams and where they may draft, and that would be it. Now you got information, you got
yes.
facts, you see how guys have played and will play and all these different things. Let me hear your top 10.
Well, before I do that, let me throw out this disclaimer. Hindsight is 2020, and also this is not in a segment intended to make you feel bad that your team or the Kings did not take the player that they should have. I mean,
is that how you live, man?
Yes.
Just step on it and forget about it.
Fine.
You don't have to apologize to anybody in here. Do you hear
I'm not,
this for
I'm
live?
I'm not apologizing. I'm just putting a disclaimer out there. I'm
there
not trying
no
to depress
There is no disclaimer
anybody.
Needed, man. No
okay.
one's going to be depressed.
Well, with that saying, with the first pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers take Donovan Mitchell.
Nah,
yes.
I don't have Donovan Mitchell
really?
There. No, I went with Jason Tatum.
Okay, so you're with Dr. J. See, yeah. Dr. J said that Jason Tatum would be the number one pick if they did it over today.
Well, okay, so we're a little off there. Okay, number two?
Number two, that's where I put Jason Tatum.
And that's where I put Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, so see, yin and yang. We work well together.
Absolutely. Los Angeles Lakers take Donovan Mitchell with the number two pick. The Boston Celtics are on the clock. Who you got?
Boston Celtics are taking Kyle Kuzma, number three.
Touche. You looking at my notes, my friend. Kyle Kuzma at
cheater.
Three. The Phoenix Suns select?
So 4 and 5 and 6 were hard for me, but Lonzo Ball for hype purposes still. He put up triple doubles, and he still has a lot that he can do. He's got a lot of raw talent.
besides the fact that everybody's still afraid of his dad and what kind of effect he can have in that noisemaker off the court, Lonzo Ball is still ridiculously talented, and the Phoenix Suns need a point guard, so I think they would take Lonzo Ball.
No, I'm going to go with a little more flash there. Dennis Smith Jr., Phoenix Suns select
that
Dennis
was who
Smith
I was balancing with.
Jr., the Sacramento Kings select?
Dennis Smith Jr.
No, the Sacramento Kings still select De'Aaron
you
Fox.
You think so?
Yes,
see,
I do,
Dennis
my friend.
Dennis Smith Jr., I love De'Aaron Fox. That's why I want to put out the disclaimer.
No, you don't have to.
I love De'Aaron
good.
Fox, and I think he's absolutely the right fit for these Kings going forward. However, if I'm based off of the information we got from this year, Dennis Smith Jr. showed a lot more Mm-mm. capability of being the leader starting point guard than De'Aaron Fox did, in my opinion. De'Aaron Fox was clutch, but Dennis Smith showed overall better talent, at least as a rookie. Sorry. Sorry,
no,
Kings fans.
It's all good. I mean, that's you.
Don't hurt me. I love De'Aaron.
Own it. Own it, man. Own it.
That being said, I think Fox will have a better career.
And that's why he got selected where he did and you messed up. Orlando Magic select?
Lauri Markkanen.
No, they select Lonzo Ball. They got rid of their point guard and they need a point guard. Their point guard with the hat hair went to Phoenix. So, Orlando Magic select Lonzo Ball. You got Markkanen. The Minnesota Timberwolves select?
De'Aaron Fox.
No, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Lauri Markkanen because they need that guy that can stretch the floor and knock down the three ball.
My favorite part about this is you ask me who I say.
Yeah,
and then
I say no.
Because
yeah,
you
no,
drafted
no doubt.
The almighty Doug Christie draft.
Not at all. The New York Knicks select?
Markelle Fultz.
Okay, no, they select they select Josh Jackson. A little athleticism on the wing. Dallas Mavericks select?
Josh Jackson.
Okay, I got you.
JJ.
I'm not going to say no. The Dallas Mavericks select Zach Collins. I like Zach.
Okay.
Yeah, that he is going to be not the next.
Yeah.
Dirk,
yeah,
but he's going to get schooled from Dirk, and you're going to see what the kid can do. On top of the fact that I liked him, he showed some signs in the playoffs. And we're going to stay with the Sacramento Kings instead of giving this to the Portland Trailblazers.
Assuming they didn't trade it.
Absolutely. And the Sacramento Kings select at number 10?
Bam.
Adebayo?
Adebayo.
Not a chance. The Sacramento Kings select Harry Giles with that pick. I've seen Harry, and yeah. No doubt.
Okay, that's fair because we're using the information that we have now. That's fair.
And just how it happened to work out.
They got him.
They got who they got in the 2.0 draft. And on the text line, I would love to hear what you guys have to say.
So, DC, you think that the Kings hit a home run on this draft then because they got both the picks you would have wanted, Fox and Harry Giles.
Look, Fox has
– And Justin Jackson.
Yes.
Two top threes.
Fox Tons. Has work to do, and it's going to be up him to put in that work. But let me tell you that the whole the clutch gene, the ability to deliver, loving the moment, all those things, and defensively what he's shown, if I'm selecting a player, I want a guy that can D up and then mm-hmm. teach him the offense. He has to show a little bit of ability to do it, but when I look at De'Aaron Fox, he has the different things that you need.
Yep.
He's got the speed. He's got the defense. He has the propensity for the big moment. That ball's in his hands, mm-hmm. and you got to have that, in my opinion. I like what I see. Now, it's going to be up to him to take it to that next level because that next level is imperative. And why I say that is teams have seen you now. You're going to have to knock down that jumper at a high clip.
Yep.
You're going to have to use the pick and roll. And I thought he learned how to use the pick and roll as the season went on a lot better. But the ability to come off, go around the pick and roll, put it down a couple of times, look off a couple passes, and knock down that 17-footer. He has the athleticism to get all the way to the cup, but where his game is going to grow leaps and bounds is the ability to knock down the three ball.
I'm really interested about 1 and 2 because you had Tatum 1, I had Mitchell at 1, and then vice versa for 2 for both of us. And I'm interested if anyone on the Jiffy Lube text line or anyone wants to call in to give their 1s and 2s. Because I think there is a legitimate conversation there. Out of them, take Ben Simmons out of the conversation. Donovan Mitchell is the clear cut. If Ben Simmons played last year, then as of right now, he's ineligible for the Rookie of the Year. In my opinion, it's Donovan Mitchell's award. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
But because of the series that Jason Tatum is having, is that what vaulted you over him? Or is it a whole season of what you've seen from Tatum that makes him number one for you?
Yeah, I'm looking at Tatum, and he has the ability to – on top of the fact, I said this earlier, so I'm going to stay by my premise. And that is, if you got guys who are similar size ways out, and you're looking at a Jason Tatum who is 6'8", with the ability to do a lot of the similar things that we see Donovan Mitchell do. Donovan Mitchell's been thrust into a position where he has to be the lead scorer, the lead dog. But we're now watching Jason Tatum take on that similar role, and he is shining in it right now. So, and you look at his body of work, he doesn't look like a rookie, as does Donovan Mitchell. I don't think that you go wrong with either one of those guys now seeing what we've seen, but it, all things being equal, 6'8", 6'3", I'm going to go with 6'8 right now.
So switch them on their teams right now with Donovan Mitchell on Boston, Jason Tatum in Utah. Is Utah having as successful of a run as they're having right now with Tatum alongside alongside Gortat instead of Mitchell, and then vice versa? Mitchell, assuming both Kyrie and Gordon Hayward are hurt, he has to be the go-to scorer. But if both of those guys are healthy, is Donovan Mitchell only a 14, 15-point-per-game player?
I think that Donovan Mitchell on the Boston Celtics wouldn't get as many opportunities to do the things that he's done.
Well, and we forget, too, he made his massive explosion when Rudy Gobert got hurt, and he had to. They had nobody else.
Right. And I'll say this. You put Jason Tatum on the Utah Jazz, he's essentially Gordon Hayward, but maybe better. So I think that they are rocking and rolling exactly where they are. Now, they are getting their scoring punch from a wee bit different position, meaning that it's coming from the combo guard 2/1 as opposed to 2/3. But that's just, you know, apples to oranges. It's not a huge, huge thing. So, you know, you can go either way, and I get it. I'm just – Jason Tatum is proven. He proved me wrong. This kid is he is a professional scorer. I love what I'm seeing from him, meaning that his footwork, he's looking at the little tiny things that you need to do to not always use your athleticism. And guys who depend upon their athleticism and never focus on the fundamentals of the game, when the athleticism begins to wane, all of a sudden they struggle.
Allow me to transition this a little bit into, we did a Where Do They Go From Here segment yesterday where we talked about a lot of teams and how they approach this next season. We had James Hamm on NBCSN, and he talked a lot, or at least gave his opinions on what he thinks the Kings should do this offseason, but you and I never got the opportunity to go back and forth. It's fun to redraft this and look back, and hindsight's 2020, but ultimately the Kings have the pieces that they have right now, so that's all they can do is work with those pieces going forward. De'Aaron Fox, what was most impressive to me about him, two things most impressive to me about him in the second half of the season was, one, he was clearly the Kings' go-to guy in clutch, and he relished in those moments and capitalized on a lot of those moments. I can point out three in particular right off the top of my head. The Miami game against the Brooklyn Nets, actually the third one now I'm blanking on, but it also was in this building that in Sacramento that he had a clutch bucket to send it to overtime.
Yeah, it was a runner.
Yeah, and he stepped up in that way. So that's one area I was impressed. Number two is, look at De'Aaron Fox at the beginning of the season. I always point to his first start as an NBA player was a matinee game on a Sunday here against the Washington Wizards. And John Wall and the Wizards absolutely embarrassed him. And he could not defensively stick with him. And then offensively, he was struggling to set up his offenses at all because John Wall was in his head, picking his pocket, and not giving him any looks at all, even remotely close to the basket. Look at that, compare that to how he ended the season with his assist totals on average in the second half of the season around 6, 7, maybe even 8 a game. He did a lot better job allowing the game to come to him and using his speed and his ability to attack the basket. When the defender came over, he kicked it out to the open man, whether it was Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, whoever it was. I really appreciate that you could see with a lot of the Kings this year, you could see the tangible growth from beginning of the season to end of the season. Now I'm really anxious to see end of season to training camp to opening day of next year. I sincerely hope with the talent that is on this team right now, with a point guard who's ridiculously fast, with athletic big men, with potentially Harry Giles being one of those athletic big men in a stretch four, I would love to see the Sacramento Kings start to morph their game plan around their skills rather than try and put their skills into a game plan. And what that means is running the floor, fast break offense, attacking the basket, going from the get-go. In my opinion, the Kings should be one of the best cardio teams in the league coming out of training camp.
Yeah, with that type of speed, I know what you're saying. Use it, especially when you have bigs that can move down the floor the way that they can. The ability for a Willie Cauley-Stein to stay in front of people. Harry Giles moves. Scalabissiere can get out, and he can move as well. Speaking about De'Aaron, his ability to take a butt whooping, for lack of a better term, that's what happens.
That's what it was.
That's what happens to guards in this league. Yeah. I can remember as a young player, you got to take your licks and you learn from them and you move on. Mm-hmm. And whether it's learning how to navigate the pick and roll, which is huge, understand this. The position that he plays, meaning De'Aaron Fox in the NBA, is the hardest position to play on the court because you got to recognize offenses, you got to recognize defenses, you got to recognize who's hot, you got to make sure that you get everybody involved. There are a lot of different things that you have to do, and it takes a second for that to happen. But his growth and his ability to, or not ability, his willingness, mixed with ability, to step up in moments, and where I saw it first is when he began at the beginning of the season, when he began to get his time and the Kings were losing in a game down 10, down 15, maybe a run comes, they go from down 6 to down 12, he would take the ball and he would try to do something on his own. It didn't always look pretty. Mm-hmm. It didn't always work out.
Right.
But that mindset is a special mindset because it says, I know that I can do it. Now he has to pair that mindset with the work that it takes and the ability to deliver in those moments, and that is what is ultimately going to be special. As we break down and we look at the Kings and where are they now and where do they go now, Harry Giles is going to be the X factor because we don't know exactly what Harry's going to be and what he's going to give. I saw some absolute brilliance from him, the nastiness, the ability to grab the rebounds, huge hands, his passing ability, his willingness to be coached, to watch him.
Right.
And that's where you take your hats off when you talk about the beginning of the season to the end of the season and the growth in these young players. That's where you say Coach Yeager and his coaching staff taking the time, working with these players, you got to take your hats off because you started to see the growth in these players. I will even Bogdan Bogdanović, who's an older rookie, but learning how to play and when to be aggressive and things like that. I've said it yesterday, Buddy Hield, man. Buddy, some of the things that Buddy did, I wasn't sure that he could do. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that with the utmost, Matt, of respect for him because we know that he can shoot the ball, but there's more to that, I would say. And then we started to see him do more. He wanted to put the ball down. There was turnovers. Then he started taking care of the ball and finding his teammates. That is awesome, and that is a growth. But his defense was flat-out spectacular.
Yes.
The ability to keep his hands moving and know that sometimes when the shot's not falling, still be involved on the defensive end. Those are pieces of growth in young players that can catapult you, like you're saying, into the next year. And that is, make no mistake about it, whatever happens with the Kings, a lot of it is dependent upon them putting in the work and coming back a better version individually so that they can be a better version collectively.
So I have two major questions for you. The first one is in regards to Buddy Hield, who in my mind was easily the most improved player on the Kings this season. Whether you talk about his outside shooting, he became the most consistent go-to outside shooter for the Kings. He started the season coming off in the starting lineup. The game wasn't really coming to him as well as he would have liked. He was kind of shooting himself out of the games, getting himself into a bad funk and not being able to work out of it. Then he starts coming off the bench. He starts making these outside shots, shooting at around a 40%, 45% clip from outside. The game is coming to him a lot more smooth. Ultimately, what's most important is he's on the game or on the floor at the end of the game almost every single night, especially if it was close and he was one of the Kings' go-to scorers there. So question number one in regards to Buddy Hield is, do you look to continue to do what he did last year well, which is bringing him off the bench, or are you ready to see him take that jump to now doing that in a starting role? The second question is in regards to Harry Giles. A lot of people are very excited to see what he was able to do in practice. There's a lot of hype around him now. Are you concerned about that level of hype at all? Or is that just stuff we're building up in the media that ultimately to him doesn't matter because he's in the gym putting in the work?
Well, the first question is with Buddy Hield. I personally, before Buddy even went to the bench, I was saying that that would be if he was willing and to do that,
yes,
it would improve the Kings,
okay,
drastically, because I played with a guy in Bobby Jackson who could have been a starter on a lot of teams, but he chose to come off the bench for us and accept his role, which made us special. It made us better because now, some of these guys, Sean Livingston, Leandro Barbosa, some of these guys who come off the bench for
yes.
teams, that second unit is able to make that thrust and make that push. Buddy Hield playing against bench players from the other team is an advantage for the Sacramento Kings. And what you're looking for is advantages, whether that being defensively, he's learning and growing, whether that be his shot, understanding, or whether that be, and this is part of the area, there's a difference between your starting two guard and your bench two guard mm-hmm. in size and athleticism normally. Normally, you're going to face a guard at the two guard position coming off the bench who might be a little bit smaller. He might be Buddy size, about 6'3", as opposed to someone like myself, 6'6", 6'7".
Yep.
And when you do that, it's easier to get your shot off and things like that. So from my standpoint, I would say Buddy stay in that role and you make us special. Look, you're still going to get the same amount of shots. Hell, you might even get the same amount of minutes. It's just coming to you in a different way. And that was just hats off to him for accepting it and understanding it in that way. When you talk about Harry Giles, look, there's hype because you can also go back and look at some of the videos of him in high school.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, watching him handle the ball, cross people over, take it to the rim, dunk it. I see that type of explosion and athleticism out of him again. And it took a while for that to happen because when knee injuries happen, that's just the nature of what it is.
He was considered to be a future potential number one pick in high school.
Absolutely. If he's not hurt, he is number one. So he has number one draft selection talent.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't drafted at number one. Now there's a little bit of a hitch in his shot, but the ability to shoot the outside shot is there. That's always for young players a work in progress. So that doesn't bother me. His dog nastiness that he has, I love that part of him. That's probably, for me, that's one of the number one things that I need when I'm looking at a young player. Defensively, on pick and rolls, stick jumping out, I can say he could probably stay in front of a three like a Jason Tatum, that type of guy. He's going to move his feet and be able to stay in front of a guy like that. So, look, he has to deliver. But everything that I see says he has the talent to do it. The body has to hold up. He has to put the work in. But there's nothing in him that I personally see. And I haven't been around enough that I, as much as I would like to every single day and look at them and see exactly what they're doing. But when I look at him and I'm seeing him improve, I'm saying to Kings fans, there is a huge upside there with Harry Giles.
Is it irresponsible of Kings fans to weigh the level of success of next season on the shoulders of Harry Giles to where if he doesn't work out or isn't as good as we expect him to be, or vice versa, if he is a superstar talent, a number one overall talent, that is going to affect where the Kings end up, if they're a playoff team or not, if it's a successful season or not?
Well, it's part of that, yes, and part of it, no. Part of it, yes, because it's going to depend on guys like Harry and De'Aaron and Bogdan and all this young group, Buddy, to improve for the Kings to make that next jump. But at the same time, you got Willie Cauley-Stein, you got Scal, you got a draft pick coming, you got a Zebo that you can put in minutes. So it's not like the cupboard is bare down there and, Harry, there you go, man. Come on, if you don't do it, we're going to just be absolutely terrible. So from that standpoint, you can still bring him along because, in all essence, he is a rookie. So you allow him to develop. Hell, he may go to Summer League and absolutely dominate. He may go to Summer League and not play particularly well and then develop as we go on,
mm-hmm.
similar to what we saw with Scal. Scal looked lost, and then he started to improve. Willie looked lost his first season, and then he started to improve. I think we'll see something similar in Harry. It could be faster. I doubt that it's slower. It probably about the same speed, maybe a little faster.
I had a lot of fun this week filling in on the Grant Napier Show and talking with Doug Christie. Had a lot of great conversations like that one. You can listen to them at any time on the KHDK app or on sports1140khdk.com. I encourage you to check out the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie as well as the other shows on KHDK if you want great content there. Of course, keep it right here on the Locked On Kings podcast as well. For more coverage as we approach the major parts of this offseason, we're getting really close, guys, to the draft lottery. And as things get closer to that, business is really going to pick up around here. I promise you, it's a good place to be a part of. I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that I need a couple favors from you. The first one is I need you to send me your redraft, your top 10 picks, assuming the Kings stay at 5 and 10. Send me your redraft of the 2017 NBA draft. Tell me if you agree or disagree with myself or Doug. Doug had Tatum going number one overall. I had Donovan Mitchell. Do you agree, disagree with that? Send them all to me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. On top of that, I could really use the help, or we could really use the help here on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you go onto iTunes, find our podcast on iTunes, even if you don't use iTunes as your main area of listening to music or anything like that. Go into iTunes. You'll find our podcast. If you could just leave us a really quick rating, that would be fantastic. Out of 5 stars, and then in the comment section, just leave a little review, what you like, what you don't like, what you think could be improved, anything like that. We look at it, and we read it all, and we use it all to improve our podcast every single day. We appreciate that feedback from you. That is going to do it for me this week. Come back for more Sacramento Kings content right here on the Locked On Kings podcast next week. It's going to continue again. We're getting closer to the draft lottery, which has major implications for how this offseason is going to begin for your Sacramento Kings. That does it for me, Matt George. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.